Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the John Clayton Show
on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in on the conversation at 866-979-ESPN. Now here's your host,
the professor,
John Clayton.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a great day for phone calls and conversation and all that stuff. We continue it along. Give us a call, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bert in Camino Island. Hey, Bert.
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, I have to apologize. My phone's a little screwed up.
No problem.
So I really enjoy the show, but just give me a minute to ask my questions, and I'll take my answer off the air.
No, you can stay on the air. We can converse.
Okay.
It's a two-way show. It's not a one-way. I mean, you know, okay. You can ask, I can answer, and you can talk back.
Okay. I'd like to ask you to talk about the Seahawks rookie class.
Yeah.
Where each one of them has made good plays and how they've developed through the year, what to look forward to from them for next year.
Yeah. Well, Trey Brown looks looks like he has starting ability at the cornerback position. So it's like that I think that's a good pick. It's unfortunate that he's hurt. Certainly you can look at Dwayne Estridge and say that he should have the ability to be a good third receiver. He still needs to work on his game and, you know, find ways to, you know, be open a little bit more and, you know, catch the ball better and do those different things. So I think he's okay. And Forsyth at sixth round, it's like, we'll see. I think he shows some potential. I think he shows that he has some decent things there. But I think overall, I think, you know, for the three picks that they got, they did pretty well. It's unfortunate it was only three picks, but that's just the way it was. Do you like it? Cody. I mean, what do you like about it or don't like?
Well, I saw some great plays from Estridge.
Yeah.
What positions are the other players?
I mean, Trey Brown's a cornerback, and, you know, Forsythe's a tackle.
Right. Never noticed tackles much. But could you tell me what you thought of the Cody Barton play this year?
I mean, you know, now that he's playing, I think he's doing a good job. I mean, the difference is that Ken Norton Jr. has adopted, you know, more of a, you know, because remember last year they were pretty much all three linebackers. So Cody Barton got a chance to play a lot. Well, this year they've been two linebackers. And so, and those two linebackers have been Bobby Wagner and certainly Jordan Brooks. And Jordan Brooks has been a great success. But now you can see that Cody Barton has been able to fill in for Bobby Wagner, did a good job last week. And I think he's a good football player. Certainly he's great on special teams, that we know. But I think that, you know, he's good. It's just that he hasn't had the opportunity this year to do much playing.
Okay, well, with the additions into the team with the draft picks this coming year, who do you see going away?
Going away?
Yeah, who are they going to cut?
I don't know if anybody they need to cut. Because, again, it's like I hope they don't cut Bobby Wagner. I think he's too valuable. Certainly, you look at the you like what they see at Carlos Dunlap. So, I mean, you know, cut guys, I just don't see much. So that because, again, they've got enough free agents that you got to worry about the free agents more so than the guys that are on the roster and have salaries.
Thank you, John.
All right. Thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jeff in Federal Way. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Mr. Clayton. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you.
So I have a question. I'd just like to say to all the 12s, please chill out and quit wanting to fire everybody and get rid of everybody.
Thank you.
I was doing a checklist, and I was looking at the teams in the playoffs and stuff like that. And this is my personal four checks. ownership.
Right.
Jody Allen is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you go to is general manager, John Schneider, awesome.
Uh-huh.
Next thing, Pete Carroll, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a franchise quarterback, Russell Wilson, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We're good, people. We just need to sprinkle in a couple of things here and there, and I'm sorry we didn't make the playoffs, but it is what it is. We just had an off year, and I'm okay with it. I don't want people to think that, oh, he's got to go, he's got to get fired, this and that and everything. You know,
I see this in so many different cities. Why is this town one of the worst for it? Can you explain that? Do you think it's because they're spoiled?
This city is spoiled, and I look back at, comparison. I'm not comparing Pete Carroll to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think Pete's a better coach.
Pete's a better coach, more experienced.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is Pittsburgh, they don't go through coaches like every other team. They stick with it, and it's like, people, it was not our year this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, injuries, this, that, everything else. The new offensive coordinator, don't get rid of him, man. He's starting to kick it in. And, you know, I honestly think we're going to be fine. Maybe some tweaks or changes.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about Ken Norton Jr. I don't know about that. It is what it is. I did want to ask you, though.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio from Denver, is he going to survive his job?
No, I don't think so.
Now, he's a defensive guy, right?
Right. He's a great defensive.
Would he come over here? I'm not speculating. Yeah. I'm just... Yeah.
He might. I mean, because, again, say what you want about Vic Fangio. I mean, he's three non-playoff years. That's going to cost him his job.
Right.
Last place in the AFC West. That's going to cost him his job. But, boy, I tell you what, you look at his stats on defense, they're fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, you know, he's ranked in the top 5 to 10 in the last couple of years. And last year, he didn't have the talent to be able to do it. This year, he has the talent, and he's been among the top defenses in football. So, to my way of thinking, you know, he should be a candidate because he's that good. And you know, what'll be interesting is that, for example, let's say, do you like the idea that Jim Harbaugh could end up with the Raiders?
I like the idea that Jim Harbaugh's come back to the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't care where he goes.
Yeah.
I think it would be awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, the one thing is, if Jim Harbaugh goes to the Raiders, is my way of thinking that, you know, he's going to go and pay a fortune to get Vic Fangio. Because remember, Fangio was his defensive coordinator in San Francisco.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, and that's where I got to know him, Vic, because I was a Super Bowl reporter for I was the pool reporter in the Super Bowl covering the 49ers. And so I got to spend a lot of time with Fangio. Love the guy. And, for example, you know, I write for 104.3, The Fan in Denver. And, And one of the things is, it's like I'm rooting for Fangio to keep his job, but I just can't see it. But, you know, certainly he'd be a great candidate here. And if not, if Harbaugh ends up going to the Las Vegas Chargers, then, you know, I would have to think that Harbaugh would do his best to get him.
Wow, that's I can't imagine Jim Harbaugh in Las Vegas. That would be funny.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
but you know, he's a competitive guy. I don't know if he'll come back, but and then the other thing too is, it's been a good season for the Seahawks. It hasn't been what the expectations were supposed to be.
Yeah,
but you know, at the end of the day, you don't win every year. And sometimes you just, you take it with a grain of salt, and it's like, people, just slow down. We're not Cleveland or those other cities that every 2 years we fire our coach and we move on, because you never get anywhere doing that. And it's just like, let it go, and we'll see. I hope everybody stays. I don't think Russell Wilson's going anywhere.
No.
The only I would like to ask you a question. Rashad Penny,
yeah.
Do you just give him like a one-year contract with a lot of incentives?
Well, I think you give him a one-year contract. You know, I don't know if it's $3 million or so, something of that nature. If it's going to be too much pricier than that, you say, no, we'll move on. But I'd have to think that he's done well enough that you can bring him back on a one-year deal. And by the way, you know, going to the point about making changes, think about this. The perennial playoff teams, because, you know, say what you want, you have a bunch of perennial playoff teams.
Right.
How much change in the coaching staff do you see? Now, maybe obviously assistants, yes, because what will happen is assistants will either leave, get fired, move on to different teams, all those different things. But it's like, I mean, you look, it's like Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. Okay.
I know. He's amazing.
Yeah. John Harbaugh. So, I mean, even though this year has been bad because of the Lamar Jackson injury, I mean, he's up there every year. I mean, certainly Matt LaFleur has established himself. I mean, you look at, you know, Sean McVay. And again, most of the teams are, and again, you had a change in Dallas because they got rid of Jason Garrett. Now you have Mike McCarthy. But most of the teams right now that are successful and have been successful are the ones that keep their coaches.
Yeah, they don't freak out over 1 year. And
look at Kyle Shanahan. People wanted to fire him last year. He won six games. Is he on the verge of making the playoffs? And the answer is yes.
I know. It's just crazy. And I've been a football fan forever. Yeah. And I think people are just like, oh, we're not winning this year. Yeah. We're going to change everything. But you keep changing every year, you'll never go anywhere.
No, you keep changing every year, and you're Jacksonville, you're Houston, you're going to be Detroit. I mean, it's like you keep changing every year, and you're going to stay at the bottom, not the top.
Right, right. And then I have one last one for you. Is there any word on Carson and his injury with his neck? I'm just wondering if maybe he's done for life as far as football.
Could be. I mean, again, it's like we'll have to see. You know, like I know we have one of the callers just ask about, you know, who can be cut. And you know, when you think about it, if he's not healthy, he's one of the few guys on the team that could get cut.
Yeah. You know, being knowing Seahawks ownership, I could see Jody Allen like saying, like, you know, legally we can cut you and not pay you a dime, but I think they would make some compensation maybe for him because he's been such a great player.
Yeah.
You know, just I don't know if it's legal in the NFL rules and stuff like that. But anyway, I'm excited for you know, I was watching some stuff real quick. Buddy Ryan, Jimmy Johnson stuff on ESPN because they got the game tonight. And they had the Bounty Bowl back then.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And so nothing happened to those guys, but back in New Orleans, it was a Greg Williams had the Bounty Bowl on Matt Hasselbeck and taking him out or something like that.
Well, the difference was in the case of the Saints is that Greg Williams, you know, preached taking guys' knees out, getting guys hurt, giving them bad injuries and stuff like that. That's why they got the suspensions.
Oh, okay.
Because, again, it's like it wasn't just Bounty Bowl. It was Bounty Bowl damage. And he wanted damage done to the other players on the other teams. Hey, thank you for the phone call.
All right, great call. Thank you, John.
Okay, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Greg Bell joining us at the bottom of the hour.
When your celebration of life is prepaid today, your family is protected tomorrow. With us, you'll find patience, compassion, and attention to detail that is second to none. We're your local Dignity Memorial provider. Find us at dignitymemorial.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Bob in Bellevue. Hey, Bob.
Hey, John Clayton, thanks for taking my call. And I got to say, I've been listening to you for probably 20 years now, and I hope that your wife is doing much better.
She's doing much better.
What I heard last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, got home from the hospital, and so, but yeah, she's doing much, much better.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. All right, well, now it's time to attack.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John, but I'm one of those that think that this team needs to be blown up in specific ways, not by just destroying everything, but I think you and yourself, and I'm coming after you on this, and I think you're a man enough to handle this. You're too much of an apologist for the Seattle Seahawks. You have an excuse.
I'm neutral.
Everything that goes
wrong. Bob, I'm a reporter.
No.
I'm neutral, okay?
I understand that, but sometimes when your excuses don't sound like reporting. It sounds like you're making an excuse. And the other caller talking about Jody Allen, where is she? Where has she been since the great Paul Allen passed away? She has not made one comment.
No.
She has not made one appearance. She is not, she is, you know who her advisor is? Pete Carroll is one of her advisors.
Yeah, right.
Now, one of my, when I said blow up the team, you keep your franchise quarterback. You don't get rid of Russell Wilson.
Right.
Who you get rid of is Pete Carroll.
Oh,
because I
God.
Believe
Bob.
It's easier to find a head coach.
No, it isn't,
than
Bob.
It is.
Bob, you're wrong. Look at the failures at head coaches.
Here you go. Okay, let's hear the apologies. Yeah.
No. John. Bob, if you bring up the word apology, I'm hanging up on you, okay? Simple thing as that. Okay, but you know, it's like look at all the failures you have in coaching. I mean, you go back like coaches, there's seven coaches usually fired each year, okay? By year two or three, five of them are already fired again. So tell me where you're going to find the coaches. I mean, name me.
Okay, I'll name one. Eric Bieniemy from offense coordinator, Kansas City.
Is he a current coach in the league? No. You don't know if he's going to be successful or not. I mean, I believe in Eric Bieniemy, but nobody knows. And so you take a chance.
But why not? Because and you have to agree with this, sir, that every time look at Pete Carroll's history at USC.
Yeah.
When that school started to crumble, what did he do? Skadoodled to Seattle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he left USC in a pile of mess. Now everyone's thinking, well, what's going on here with Pete? Because earlier in your calls, he said, well, the Seahawks played better defense and they couldn't, you know, adjust to a 2-deep, you know, defense. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck is John saying? That's just showing you right there that Pete Carroll cannot adjust his offense to beat a 2-deep defense. And I'm like, well, then he's too old. Not you, sir.
Is Andy Reid too old?
Well, Andy Reid, well, look at Kansas City. Are they making the playoffs this year?
Yeah. No, they won the division. But it's like Andy Reid.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Okay, what happened in the Super Bowl? In the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay went cover two on him. And Patrick Mahomes had nothing but problems in the cover two. Is that because Andy Reid should get fired? No. Bob, you're clueless. You're absolutely clueless.
John, listen. Since 2016, when is the last time the Seahawks have played for NFC West Championship?
They play every year.
I said it. 2016.
Did they win? They won the NFC Championship,
not divisional championship. I'm not talking about our.
Bob,
my God, John. See again. What? You can hang
Bob,
up.
That's
you
it.
Are just Bob, an apologist
bye.
For the Seahawks.
Bye, Bob. See ya. Let's go to Victor at Auburn. Victor, Bob was just brutal.
Later, Bob. Get out of here, Bob.
Oh my God.
Great show, John.
Thank you. And it's like I'm an apologist.
Yeah,
give me
yeah. When have you ever been in a
never
apology? Just tell
never.
It how it is.
I mean, hey, I mean, you know, it's like I write for 104.3 and I like Vic Fangio a lot. What I've been saying now for the last couple of weeks, he's fired.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's gonna go. I don't I wouldn't like to. I'd like to see him stay maybe one more year, especially with what the options are going to be once they go looking for a coach. I also heard that the Eric Bieniemy is not that well liked in the league with some of his interview skills, I guess.
Yeah, but you know who, because and again, and this is because I'm so close to the guy because I covered him when he was an undrafted rookie and known him for years, talked to him when he was, you know, getting up in the coaching ranks and all that stuff. You know who also was a bad interview?
Who?
Tony Dungy.
Oh.
And the reason is, and I don't know what Eric does in his interviews or anything like that, but Tony was so honest, and he says, well, I think you need to do this. I think you need to do that. I think you need to do that. And the ownership gets insulted by what he says because he says, well, you're asking for too much. And so it's like, no, I'm giving you his opinion. And that's the way Tony was. And so Tony was always considered to be a bad interview. But look what a great coach he was. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he definitely was a good coach. Do you think Bieniemy has more influence over that offense, or is it the head coach?
It's Andy Reid. It's Andy Reid. But Bieniemy.
What do you attribute that Bieniemy does? What's his special area on that offense?
Well, I think he works well with Patrick Mahomes. He works well with the offensive players, all those things, and he's a good guy. I mean, again, he could have taken the Colorado job last year as a head coach, but he's waiting for something in the NFL. I just hope he gets it.
Eventually, I assume they would, especially with the push for diversity, which they definitely need. But I don't want to see Fangio go. His defense is good.
Yeah, agreed.
Plus, it's getting worse. It got worse with Bridgewater than it was going.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he stays, Pat Shurmur is going to be gone.
Oh, yeah, he has to go, Pat Shurmur.
Because the offense has been so bad. But it's like, hey, you go, I mean, look at what's going on with your team. I mean, number one, they're going to have ownership change. Number two, probably a coaching change. Number three, a quarterback change. And so you put all that together, and I don't know, I was saying this on radio yesterday. You know who one of the names they're talking about for the Denver job and see what your thought is Dan Quinn.
Yeah, I heard Dan Quinn was that's a definitely potential mark they're going for. But the Fangio fire isn't for sure.
No.
I mean, unless he gets really embarrassed today, but they also said that they can't have Fangio back and Locke, and most likely they're going to keep Locke because he'd be on his fifth year or his fourth year rookie contract.
Yeah.
And let alone no one really wants him. But I know Bridgewater's not coming back.
Yeah.
And
I don't think Locke will be back either.
If Denver strikes out on Rodgers or I mean, I know they're talking about Wilson in the media. I know that's not going to happen. But that if neither one of those happen, I know they're going to try getting into the draft because I don't see anybody really better than what Bridgewater number wise was capable of doing. And even you can't throw 3-yard passes.
Agreed.
And seven.
Hey Victor, thank you, John, for the phone call.
All right, take care, John.
All right, let's go to Greg Bell coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
And joining us now is Greg Bell from the News Tribune. And Greg, tomorrow's the wrap-up for the season. One game against Arizona. I don't know. Are you kind of glad the season's over?
Hi, John. Yeah, it feels like two seasons. Oh. I've been spoiled. I've only covered a few of these, a couple with the Raiders, and it gets long, especially a 17-game season and COVID and guys injured and mix and match starting lineups, and then you got Zoom and you really don't get to talk one-on-one with players like you're used to doing, and we haven't been in the locker room in 2 years. It's been a little bit of a grind media-wise as well as player-wise.
No doubt about it. Then, of course, I mean, then you got the whole town wanting everybody fired, which, of course, I don't know. Is there anybody in the Seattle media, yourself included, that's pushing for the firing of Pete Carroll, the trade of Russell Wilson, you know, major changes and all that stuff?
No. If you just report on the facts, we're not even writing that. Because it is all outside the 206 for sure. And, John, you probably sense the same I do. I don't sense Jody Allen wants a regime change to start with.
No.
And not the least of which is because she's got a doings on in Portland with the Trailblazers that she didn't want to be involved in either. She had to fire the president and GM, Neil Oshie, down there for workplace misconduct. And she is way too into the eaches of that situation than she wanted to be. I don't think she wants to turn over both of her pro sports but pro franchise at the same time.
But and that's the thing. I mean, because people, you know, bring up Paul Allen. It's like, tell me how different that is when Paul Allen was alive. Because, I mean, he's like Jody when it involved this team. Sure, he may be in the locker room more and all that different stuff. But, I mean, he let the football people make football decisions.
He was very hands-off in the day-to-day. You're right, John. And Pete Carroll and John Schneider, especially Carroll, talked about how he appreciated that Allen, Paul Allen, trusted the football side to run the football. And then they would go to Paul Allen and say, hey, you want to give Russell Wilson $140 million? That would be the times that he would get involved. Mm-hmm. And he was more visible to the players, like you said. He was in the locker room. He was on the road. Jody Allen, for the most part, stays in a suite for home games. He doesn't go to a lot of road games. Bert Cole, the vice chair, her right-hand man for the top of Vulcan, is the one who comes to road games. Bobby Wagner has talked about how he only met Jody Allen on a field during a minicamp a year or two ago. So she's far less visible in the locker room and around the team than Paul Allen was. But in terms of day-to-day operations, neither one of them got involved. You're right.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people, you know, I mean, I know and you know from covering the team and being around them. And obviously, you know, Jody Allen is not going to be in the locker room post-game for whatever reason. I mean, she's certainly allowed to be because she owns the team. But it's like, you know, she's going to go to a different area once the game is over.
And also this, most of us around Seattle realize this, but maybe nationally it's not thought of, is that Jody Allen is overseeing Paul Allen's trust, which has all kinds of, I mean, space exploration, deep sea exploration, there's music collections and art collections and the billions of dollars of wealth and the philanthropic efforts that Paul Allen started and cancer research. I mean, the Seahawks are one bit piece of that.
Yeah.
So it's not like Jody Allen wakes up every day and says, how are we going to get better on third down? She's got other things to worry about. And the estate, the review of the estate since Paul Allen's death is going to take years. They're not even halfway through that. The Blazers are part of that. And so it's not, while it's priority one to sports talk radio and sports writers and sports fans, it's not priority one to Jody Allen unless someone comes to her saying they need her help and input on something.
I know. I know I'm probably more sick of it than you are. And I don't know if you're sick of it at all, but
I mean, saying something.
But again, it's like, because, you know, every radio station I do all through the country and different things like that. I mean, every day since February, I keep on hearing about Russell Wilson trade. And it's like, will you people just shut up? He's not being traded. I mean, you know, I know. Are you as sick of it? Not maybe as much as I am, but are you sick of it?
No, I am, because it comes up and then the national media that put that out, it's usually from Russell Wilson's agent and just trying to keep. Yeah, what I think's going on, John, is that they are trying to, Wilson and his agent are trying to leverage the 2023 contract negotiation.
Right.
And he wants to make it so that it's not a fait accompli that Wilson re-signs with Seattle, that there'll be a market for him, of course, and that you're going to have to come pony up big bucks. Up until this point, they have used Aaron Rodgers, of course, as the barometer to how much the Seahawks should pay Russell Wilson. And they would say, well, they have the same number of Super Bowl wins. Wilson is 7-6 years old, younger. Well, the comparison is not as apt as it was 4 years ago now. Rodgers is on his way to probably winning a second MVP award. He's got the inside track to another Super Bowl. He has accomplished more since Russell Wilson signed his $140 million deal. And so the comp is not as comparable as it was in 2018-19. So now the Seahawks don't necessarily have to listen to Mark Rodgers saying this guy is as comparable to Aaron Rodgers getting paid X, because Russell Wilson on the field has not been as accomplished since that contract. So what they've done essentially through all of this noise in the soap opera of the last 11 months, they have created a market that did not exist previously.
Mm-hmm.
Teams weren't calling or even considering thinking Russell Wilson was on a market because he had 3 more years left on his deal, of course. Now he has 2 more years left on his deal. So, but the perception is that there is a market for him. So then you get the Chicago Bears offering Wrigley Field and Comiskey Park and the Sears Tower. And then you get the Saints calling and saying, maybe we'll give you the French Quarter and the Superdome. I mean, that is what this has become, all because of that perception that there's a market that really hasn't existed because the Seahawks bottom line don't want to trade him.
No doubt, because again, what happens is you trade him, and how many years is it going to take to get back to, you know, 6-7 wins?
Right. Pete Carroll would be 85 before they
got back. Agreed. Crazy. So what
they have the one piece, John. They have the one piece, as you know more than I, they have the one piece that the Jets and all the losing teams wish they had. They have the franchise quarterback. Yes, he had an injury-filled season, and he was subpar when he came back, and he admits he came back too soon. But that is his one bad season out of 10 that included a finger surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that means you jettison the best quarterback you ever had, the only one who won a Super Bowl, because of one bad season. They have the piece that all the other losing teams wish they had to get back quickly.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So what kind of changes do you see this team having? Because obviously there's going to be a lot of changes.
There is. There was a time that I thought if there had to be a fall guy or a change guy at the leadership position, it might be Shane Waldron. I can easily see how Pete Carroll would say, look, I had a first-time play caller lose his quarterback for a month, lose his lead running back just after 4 games for the rest of the year. He didn't have all the pieces he was designed to have at the start of the season. And now that Rashad Penny has taken over in the last 4 games as the running back that Waldron didn't have consistently the whole season, you see the more of the offense, the motion, the play action, the bootlegs, the time of possession, the third down conversions, the thing they were supposed to do, Gerald Everett, much more like that Indianapolis game when they were at full health and strength. So I think Pete Carroll is going to say this wasn't a full evaluation season for how our offense is going to look under Shane Waldron. I asked him that point blank last week, and Carroll said, I love the direction we're in. We're more up-tempo. We're more varied. We just didn't get to see it all the time for the reasons I just mentioned. So I think Waldron's coming back as well. Offensively, their biggest issues are at offensive line, what else is new, and at running back.
Mm-hmm.
Because Chris Carson is no sure thing to come back, as you know, John. It's a neck surgery, a very tricky injury and rehabilitation. He might be back late in the fall, spring, but he might not. And he, even if he does come back, has never lasted an entire NFL season injury-free. He hasn't been injury-free for an entire season since junior college. So Rashad Penny's emergence the last 4 games means he is, all of a sudden, a guy they need back. This time last year, he may not even have a job in the NFL next year. His contract was ending with Sunday's game, but now the Seahawks need him. And because the only 2 healthy running backs they have under contract next year are Travis Homer and DJ Dallas, neither of whom is going to be the lead back. And then offensive line, what do you do with Dwayne Brown? He's going to be 37 next summer. He wants to play some more. How much would you be willing to pay him to continue at left tackle? Do you really want to give the keys to Stone Forsythe without any experience next year? Right tackle, Brandon Shell, his contract is up. Jay Curran has emerged, the undrafted rookie from Cal. He'll make his 5th consecutive start because Brandon Shell has been on COVID and had a shoulder injury. They like Curran a lot, and he could be a cheaper option at right tackle where they could go spend money, perhaps with Dwayne Brown. And I think they need to get a center.
Mm-hmm.
They tried 2 centers again this year. Both of them are free agents. Kyle Fuller benched after seven games, and Ethan Posick is also a free agent. If they liked Posick enough, he would have been the starter to start this season because he was the starter last year, and they chose Kyle Fuller instead and then had to bench him after seven games. They whiffed in free agency. It got too expensive with Alex Mack and Corey Lindsley last offseason. They need to invest at center, whether it's in the draft in the second round or third round or in free agency. They didn't get better. They treaded water, and it didn't help Russell Wilson in the offensive center.
What do you think happens to Ken Norton Jr.?
I think he comes back because of the defenses. They inside the red zone where the points matter, they were good. They gave up too many yards in third down conversions, and that cost time of possession and swung the field position, and the offense didn't help them by getting off the field so quickly. All of that, yes. But Pete Carroll has been loyal to Ken Norton. Of course, he was an assistant at USC in the early 2000s. Actually, Ken Norton's first coaching job was at USC for Pete Carroll. And then he brought him back after Norton had left to go to the Raiders to be the defensive coordinator for the first time. I don't think he'll be a fall guy or somebody that they can blame and say, oh, our troubles in going 6-10 is because of Ken Norton.
Okay. Which I'm hoping, because again, it's like, you know, he's so valuable, I think, particularly to a guy like Bobby Wagner and guys like that. So what do you think happens to Bobby Wagner? Because it sounds like he's willing to adjust his salary. we can both go over some numbers and see what you think. But do you think Bobby's back?
I do, but I do think he's going to have to renegotiate. His cap number is $20.35 million. And they lately, as you know, John, they've been using the void years to make the salary cap impact less over a couple years rather than the last one. They could do that, give Wagner more guaranteed money up front. Mm-hmm. He indicated to us, hey, I'm not talking about wanting to take less money, but he may have to.
Yeah.
He may realize, especially after this knee injury and not finishing the season on the field, that he's, in order to stay, is going to have to take less money. And let's face it, I don't know a team that would pay him $16 to $20 million even on a one-year deal. So he probably is going to renegotiate the stay.
See, see if my logic is okay on this, because, I mean, you know how bad I am in, you know, database and studying numbers and stuff like that. I'm thinking that, you know, if he could take his salary down to $13 million, because you're talking about, you know, a middle linebacker in his mid-30s, and, you know, he can take it down to 13, and then if that's the case, you're right, do the voidable years, and then, you know, save some cap money on that. So he can get the cap money down and everything else, and he still gets a respectable salary.
Right, and if you go from $20.3 million to $13 million in your scenario, that's $7 million in 1 year of a cap charge that you could get two offensive linemen for.
Yeah, and again, I'm thinking, his salary would be $13 million. But his cap number would be less.
It would be even less than that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's probably what he's going to have to do because of the other needs they have. They also have the cornerback issue because they went through so many this year. None of them they really loved except for DJ Reed. They need to invest there. They need a longer-term answer at linebacker. Are they going to, if they have Bobby Wagner back for one more year, what's the answer after that? Cody Barton just played his first snaps of his NFL career last week at middle linebacker.
No doubt about it. And then what about, I'm still surprised they didn't get anything done with Diggs at safety.
that is like a taxi meter. Yeah. It just clicks up and up. The price raises every game. He wanted it, of course, last spring. He held in and tried to get a new deal in the summer. Yeah, it's costing him more now than it would have been in the summer. Mm-hmm. And some of that, of course, is because of the deal they had just struck with Jamal Adams. But now they're staring at having two safeties at the top of the market because of the performance of Quandre Diggs.
Yeah,
because
I look at like Eddie Jackson and Buda Baker and guys like that. So I'm thinking now that Diggs will probably have to get over $15 million. He's obviously not going to get to $17.5 million, but I think he's probably at $15
million. So now you got two safeties making over $30 million a year of your cap.
Yeah, I know.
That's what Seattle has boxed itself in with the Jamal Adams contract. You're right.
But Diggs, of course, that's the advantage of having $70 million of cap room.
Exactly. And the cap going up to almost $210 million next year. This is the most, you probably talked about, this is the most cap flexibility in space they've had going into an offseason and the entire Snyder Carroll era.
Hey, Greg, as always, great stuff. Great job for the News Tribune. and let's get past the last game of the regular season.
I can't wait to get on that plane and back off it tomorrow night.
I can imagine. Hey, Greg Bell, thanks for joining us.
Happy New Year. Thanks, John.
All right, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. John Clayton Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
All right, thanks to Matt Nelson for producing the show and running the show. We'll get to Commando Dave here in a second, but let's go to Steve in Skyway. Hey, Steve.
Hey, good morning, John. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Hey, I just wanted a couple things first off. First of all, Mike Tomlin should get a medal for dealing with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown for the years that he dealt with that. Is he getting any heat in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, naturally, yeah. I mean, maybe not as much this year because they're in the last week of the season and he still have a chance for the playoffs, but had a lot of people back in Pittsburgh that wanted to fire him last year.
So it's kind of a league-wide thing. Some people that are the people that have it good don't know what they really have.
Right, exactly.
Okay. And then the next thing I want to talk about, I wanted to talk about John Madden for a second.
Yeah.
The thing I remember about John Madden, I used to watch football, he was like a big dancing bear on the sideline. You know?
Agreed.
And I kept thinking in my mind, you remember back the show The Honeymooners?
Yeah, yeah.
With Jackie Gleason?
Right.
Imagine that's Jackie Gleason and John Madden, that's what John Madden would have been. I mean, Jackie Gleason would have been as a coach, too. It would have been the same thing, the enthusiasm and everything else. And then the next thing I wanted to talk to you about was the great loss of Curly Culp.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to get back, when I was getting into football, I used to watch the Raiders and the Chiefs all the time. And I think that a lot of people don't realize one of the big things about that merger was the fact that it wasn't just the offenses from the AFL that people were looking at. You had great defenses with the Jets, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. And they were one of the first defenses that I remember where you had Hall of Famers at every level. I mean, that was a great, great defense. When you remember the Buck Buchanans,
no doubt,
Willie Lanier's, the Emmett Thomas. And there was something, when a Culp passed, there was something they said. Curly Culp was the same height as Emmett Thomas. Did you realize that?
I did not realize that, no.
And he played at 6'2", 265.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, just great defenses. I think that had as much to do with the merger happening on the defensive side as it did on the offensive side.
Yeah, as opposed to matriculate the ball down the field. Hey, Steve, great call.
I got to
wrap it up here with Commando Dave. David, how are you?
Hey, great. Happy New Year to you and Mrs. Clayton, John Clayton. It was cool to be the last caller of 2021, and it's great to be back on the John Clayton Show for the first time in 2022, heading into Week 18, the artist formerly known as Wild Card Weekend.
Yes.
Shout out to Matt DMC Nelson for getting me on the airwaves of 710 Cairo, home of the Come On 7 Seattle Seahawks, so I can bring it to the show. And while I'm giving shout out, John Clayton, as sour as last year was for the Huskies, at least this one has started with some sweetener with the recently installed mayor of the Emerald City, hard-hitting Husky linebacker Keith Harrell. And the guy that I was just going to light up, but as soon as Rick said, apologies to Commando, I had to pick up the flag for his call about the new Heisel Calcutta or whatever it is he's in. And since you brought up the money, John Clayton's favorite charity is the same as mine, Walk MS Seattle 2022. And you're right, John Clayton. Today was a great show of callers. When you got Jason saying fire the trainer, we're really covering all the Seahawk bases first week of the year, last week of the season. It's absurd for Bob to call you a Seahawks apologist. Everyone knows you're an impartial Steelers fan. And it was great to hear.
I'm neutral. I'm not a Steelers fan. I'm neutral.
I said impartial.
Yeah.
It's great to hear. Come on, John Clayton. Yeah. I'm pulling your leg there, man. Great to hear Raider Jim today. I grew up an Oakland Raiders fan and only became a Seahawks fan when Al Davis took them to L.A. I couldn't ride with him on that. Seahawks are right here. But anytime anyone asks me who my favorite football team, without even thinking, I say the Raiders of the 70s, and that's how I know John Madden. And so God rest your soul, Coach Madden, moving from the Raiders to a guy who never played a down for him. If it looks like the duck, it walks like the duck, and quacks like the duck, it's Antonio Brown.
Oh.
A.B. needs an A.B. And in the words of the great philosopher Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that. But I'll ask you this, John Clayton. I know you're tight on time.
Yeah.
Does the NFL physical entail mental fitness as well?
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of different places to go if you need it, a lot of people to talk to.
No.
Oh.
What I'm asking here is when the NFL is giving a physical to determine if the guy can pass it to play on a team in the National Football League, does that include mental fitness also? Is it a two-way street that you have to pass something? I know they did away with the Wonderlic test this week. Did that play into it at all?
It's just the tough part is that you don't get to spend enough time, and particularly now that so many of the last 2 years where mostly everything's on Zoom, it's even tougher to be able to get that. But no, I think that it's always part of the equation. It's just hard to figure out.
Hmm.
Hey, Commando, thank you so much.
Look, my best to Mrs. Clayton. Go Seahawks. Talk,
okay.
We'll talk to you, John Clayton.
And, of course, we'll be back next Saturday from 8 to 11. John Clayton shows 710 at ESPN Seattle.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.